Studying a series of five prayers we're calling five dangerous prayers. They may not be stated in these very terms, but the principles are there. The first one of which we've studied together is search me, search me. It's based on Psalm 139 verse 23. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. In discussing the knowledge, the omniscience of God, the psalmist is bold and he asks God to, he invites divine scrutiny into his own life to seek out any dark, the dark recesses of his soul, to eradicate that so that he may be pure in his sight. Search me. Search me. Invites God to search out our lives and to find any wicked way, defeat us in that, and lead us in the way everlasting. Then we looked at break me, based on passages such as Psalm 51 verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. The type of brokenness of which the psalmist is speaking is the brokenness which comes with conviction of sin. After we've invited God to search us out, search us through and through, and he finds some wicked way, our plea is then, break us. Break our hearts over this sin. Cause us to be penitent. Cause us to turn to you. And then tonight, I'd like for us to consider this prayer, this dangerous prayer. Stretch me. Stretch me. No, you won't find that prayer by those terms in the Bible, but it's based upon this principle that you will find over and over in Scripture. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. We're instructed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Both now and forever. Amen. Grow. Grow, Peter says. And to grow, we must be stretched. Now, I'm a firm believer in what the Scripture teaches, that God has endowed each and every one of us with talents and abilities. And those may vary from person to person. I think about the parable of the talents, where one servant was given five talents, another two, another one. Now, talents in that passage refers to a sum of money, but each one was given this number of talents based upon their ability. So the person who was given five talents had more abilities, and the one who had one had less. But each and every one had ability. Each and every one of us has gifts, has abilities that God has given to us. However, I do also believe that Scripture teaches, such as in this passage, that God wants us to grow. Certainly he wants us to grow in our knowledge of his will. And that's why we continue to study for the rest of our lives. And we continue to learn and grow in that sense. Would you not also agree that God would want us to grow in our opportunities to serve? And grow in the types of service that we do? And for some of those, in some of those cases, it requires us to actually step out of our comfort zones. And now you're getting the idea of stretching, aren't you? And we're asking God to stretch us, help us to grow. And it may be growing in service, it may be growing in knowledge. But God's word teaches us that we must grow. And if growth and maturing in Jesus Christ is our goal, we must be stretched. But I'm suggesting to you this can be a dangerous prayer. Why is that? The answer is in how we answer this question. How are we stretched? How are we stretched? I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4, I suggest to us, talks about how we can be stretched. I want to read those verses and then we'll examine them a little more closely. James 1, beginning verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Notice in this text how we are stretched. Number one, to be stretched, we must develop a new attitude. James says, count it all joy. One version states it, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. In this passage, we can learn several things about trials. In fact, in verses 2 through 4, notice five truths about trials. Number one is this, trials are inevitable. Trials are inevitable. Count it all joy when, not if you fall into various trials, but when. They are inevitable. I was late to services tonight. Patrice doesn't know this. I'm telling her too. And now she's thinking, oh no. I was late to services tonight because Lacey and I heard water running in our house somewhere. And we couldn't find any faucets on. Couldn't find anything running that shouldn't be running. I called Steve Johnson and, Steve, help. And I didn't mean to get into all this detail, but Patrice, I had to turn the hot water heater off. We got a hot water leak somewhere in the house, and I don't know what that's going to mean. I guess this was to help me to have an illustration tonight for this lesson. Trials are inevitable. When you face various trials. Honey, don't worry about it. It'll all be all right. The believer who expects his Christian life to be easy is in for a shock. Life always provides some crisis for us to face. Some hard decision, some hurt to be absorbed, some illness or accident, a water line breaking, you name it. Something will happen, right? That's the truth about trials. They're inevitable. Number two, trials are multicolored. That's another translation of this term that's translated various trials. Multicolored. Some are darker than others, right? Trials can come in a variety of ways and forms when you fall into various multicolored trials, James says. And then trials are also unpredictable. Inevitable, but unpredictable as to when and what you may face. Notice the word fail. When you fall, into various trials. The word fail is used in Luke chapter 10, same word. Jesus used in the parable of the Good Samaritan when he said a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell into the hands of robbers. Unsuspecting, right? Traveling that road, and Jesus was telling a parable about something that probably did happen from time to time. That Jericho Road was notorious for that kind of thing. And here was a man that was traveling down that road, and he fell unknowingly. Didn't know when he started out on this journey that this was going to happen. It was an unpredicted trial. And that's the way trials are. James is saying it's not that we seek them out. They're not necessarily a result of our failure to live right or our failure to prepare for the future. It is the nature of trials that they are predictable. Unpredictable. But they're inevitable. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But notice about those things about trials, inevitable, multicolored, and unpredictable. James still says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now that's a stretch right there, isn't it? We're facing a trial and we're challenged by God's word, by God himself. We're challenged. Have a new attitude toward these trials. Count it all joy. Now, how we're able to do that, we need to keep reading. But we see it's not hard to be happy when all is going well. When we have good health, when we have plenty of money, when we have good friends, when we have success, when we have praise of men, security. It's not hard to be happy. It's not hard to count it all joy. The real challenge comes when the roof falls in. When our health fails. When our money dries up. When some friends may desert us. When we fail at something. When we're criticized. When we see no hope for the future. Then it's a challenge, isn't it? We're stretched to obey this instruction. Count it all joy. When you fall into various trials. How do we do that? Let's keep reading. But notice, secondly, to be stretched, we must be tested. Next verse, verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. If we want to be stretched, if we want to grow, James is challenging us, you got to have a new attitude. You got to be able to count it all joy when you face trials. But you also must have your faith tested. He's saying if we have the right attitude, problems can develop our character. Here's another truth in those five truths about trials, that trials test faith. Trials test our faith. I love this quote by Bill Hooten. In God's curriculum for life, he has a course entitled Testing 201. The class yell is ouch. The class colors are black and blue. And the class motto, and I love this, this too will pass. Have you taken that class? Are you going through the course? It's a part of life, and the purpose of trials is that they test our faith. And when our faith is tested, our faith can be stretched, it can grow, and we can grow spiritually stronger. It's our faith that is tested. If a person has faith, when problems come, when they're faced in the right way, that person can be made stronger. If faith is not present, then problems in his life will make him weaker. Someone has said that a person's faith is like a tea bag. He'll never know how strong it is until it gets into hot water. There's another reference to water. That's terrible. But that's when our faith is tested, isn't it? When we go through a trial. That's not to say that God causes the difficult, despicable, and devastating events in life that happen to us. It is saying that our faith and our trust and our confidence in God is put to the test when things don't go as we would like. What happens to our faith when something goes wrong in our lives? Bill Hooten also said the trials of life put faith in the fire. And pure faith always emerges out of the furnace brighter and stronger. There are some Christians that were suffering to whom Peter wrote. And notice what he said to them, 1 Peter 1 verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is he saying to those suffering saints? Your faith, which is much more precious than gold, is being tested. Remain loyal, remain true, remain faithful to the Lord. So that your faith can be proved to be genuine and that can bring praise and honor and glory when Jesus returns. To be stretched, our faith must be tested. And thirdly, to be stretched, we must develop patience. James 1 verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I think we need to understand that word patience, that it's not a passive thing. It's a very active thing. In fact, it's probably better translated perseverance. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It has the idea of endurance, of steadfastness. As our faith is tested and our faith is stretched and it grows, then we become stronger and we're able to better endure the various trials that will come into our lives. You remember the young preacher that asked the older preacher? He asked him for prayers. He said, "I'm just lacking patience, and please will you pray that I'll have more patience?" And so the older preacher just stopped right there and began to pray, "Lord, would you bring tribulation into this young preacher's life? Will you just give him abundance of problems and trials?" And the young preacher interrupted this prayer. He said, "No, I don't want more problems. I want more patience." And of course, the older preacher said, "That's the way you develop patience, is by going through problems. That's the way you develop perseverance." Isn't that what Romans 5 teaches? Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that, and here it is, tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Patience or tribulation is what produces the ability to endure. You see why this is a dangerous prayer to pray, "Stretch me"? Because it's challenging us to have a new attitude, to be able to count it all joy when we face various trials. And it's testing our faith to the point where we learn about what endurance, and we build up endurance by having our faith tested. Here's the fifth truth about trials, that trials create perseverance. Or perhaps we should say, trials create the opportunity to learn perseverance. It all depends on how we respond. But James says, God's design about us going through trials is that the testing of our faith produce this quality of endurance, of perseverance in our lives. You see, James says that the only way that patience and character can be developed in our lives is through trials. That's how we're stretched, folks. It's by having our faith tested. That's why "stretch me" is a needed prayer. But we need to recognize how we're stretched. But notice the end result. The end result of the stretching process is spiritual maturity. James 1 verse 4, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Let patience have its perfect work means to continue to endure so that the end result or finished work of patient endurance can be seen. And what is that finished or perfect work? It's that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Not sinless, but perfect in the sense of complete or mature. Not lacking anything in the sense of being equipped to meet whatever life may bring our way. Its perfect work is spiritual maturity in our lives. It's that growth that God wants us to experience. But it's that growth that comes only by being stretched, by having our faith tested. You see, when we put it all together, James is saying that if we keep on keeping on, if we keep on persevering, regardless of the trials we confront, the end result will be that we will be better able to meet the challenges of the future. Let's go back to verse 2, point number 1. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now make no mistake, James does not say that the trials of life are a joy. Being with our families, fellowshipping with one another, seeing a person obey the gospel, being baptized into Christ, that's pure joy. Amen? But the trials of life are not joyous. The challenge is to count them as such because of what they can do in our lives. Here are three reasons why we can count it all joy. Number one, because we can always know we're not alone. We're not alone when we're going through our trial, when our faith is being tested, when we're being stretched. We're not alone. We have a loving and powerful Lord who will be with us all the way. He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not only is our Lord with us, but our spiritual family will assist us through the bad times as well. You're not alone. That helps me. That helps you count it all joy when we face various trials. Number two, we can count it all joy because testing by trials can be and ought to be a time of growth. As difficult as it is, it can and should be a time of growth. Robert Browning Hamilton once wrote, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. We learn the deeper lessons when we are tested, when we're stretched, when we go through trials. And number three, we can count it all joy when we face various trials because the trials of life provide the opportunity to be more Christ-like. As you examine the life of Christ, you don't see an easy life by any means. You see one that was persecuted. You see one that was mocked and ridiculed. You see one of tremendous suffering, including the suffering on the cross. You see, when you and I go through trials, it gives us the opportunity to be more Christ-like, especially when those trials are of such a nature that we're suffering because we're following Christ. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the Hebrew writer says, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured, there's that persevering quality, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, having trials and difficulties in life is not an indication that God does not love us. It could just be an indication we're living in a sin-cursed world. And we must resolve to be more like Jesus. And let our light shine brightly. And allow others to see Jesus in us. David Roper wrote, like it or not, facing troubles with the help of God is the primary way that we grow up. Stretch me. Stretch me. A dangerous prayer, because it's inviting God to work in our lives in whatever way He deems best in order to cause us to grow. To grow to be more and more like Jesus. Will you pray this prayer? And will you respond in obedience to His will? It may be tonight that there's one or more that from your study of the Scriptures you recognize that you need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You recognize that your sin separates you from God, but you're turning from it in repentance, and you're ready to confess the name of Jesus and be baptized so that your sins can be washed away. I hope you'll have the courage to let that be known tonight. And may all of us, as we pray this challenging prayer, "Stretch me," that we'll be able to understand how that process occurs, but we'll be willing to do what God wants us to do, to grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus. If you need the prayers of the church tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come right now as we stand and sing.